Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. Today, it's a particular pleasure to welcome my friend Ron Boyd, who will be our preacher. Ron was parish minister in the West Kirk in Dumbarton. We were ordained the same month, a way back in 1993. And then after Dumbarton, he became minister of Portland Church in Troon. And then he was appointed as chaplain at the Queen Victoria School in Dunblane, where he is now schoolmaster and teacher. Things have been a wee bit busy of late, and therefore when I was talking to Ron last week, I said to him, "Are you doing anything on the morning of the 29th? He said, "No." I said, "Well, you are now." Ron, it's great to have you with us. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 324, 324, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
In 1 John we read, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only Son into the world that we might have life through him." Let us pray. Almighty God, whose glory flames from sun and star, we hear with gladness the good news of your coming to us in Christ. And with shepherds and wise men and all the heavenly host, we praise you, the one who created the world in all its splendor, and the one whose love for the world is such, you sent your Son, full of grace and truth, to dwell among us. Gracious God, at the first Christmas, eternity entered time in the child of Bethlehem, and through your indescribable gift, the course of history was changed forever. Loving God, as we remember how you came to your own people, but were not received by them, we confess that we too can be less than welcoming at times. We prefer our way to your way. We forget your goodness and take your mercy for granted. We lose our sense of mystery in your presence and fail to realize how marvelous you really are. Eternal God, in Jesus, you give us light in our darkness. Set us free from all selfish and unworthy motives. Kindle within us a love that seeks the good of others, and grant that turning again to you, we may gladly give the very best we have to give in your service. Almighty God, source of light and life, on this last Sunday of the year, bless our time of worship, and may it be that as we wait humbly before you, we will know again your presence, and with it the joy and peace that came into the world at the first Christmas. These things we ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just mentioned that the flower calendar for 2025 is now in the main vestibule of the church. Thank you to those who donate flowers to the church throughout the year. Not only do they enhance the sanctuary, but they are greatly appreciated by those who receive them after our morning services. So if you would like to donate flowers to the church on a particular Sunday, then please put your name and contact detail on the flower calendar. And likewise, if you would like to read the lesson on a Sunday, the Bible reading rota from January through to June is also in the main vestibule. I remind you of the prayer tree that's in the McMichael Chapel. If you would like the prayer group to pray for anyone in particular, please write that person's name on a tag and attach it to the tree. And likewise, if there's a situation in the world that concerns you, again, write that down and the prayer group will pray for that situation. I think these are all the things that I need to draw to your attention today. During the Advent and Christmas season, I try as best I can to cover most of the hymns that are associated with this time of year. And One that I like very much is Child in the Manger. It was originally written in Gaelic by Mary MacDonald, who lived from 1789 to 1872. It's said that she would often sit at her spinning wheel and pass the time by singing hymns and composing some of her own. She was a crofter's wife, and she lived near Bunessan in the south of Mull, hence the name of the tune that is given to this hymn. It is a traditional Gaelic melody. And so we continue our worship of the Christ Child by singing hymn 314, 314, Child in the Manger.
The first reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 20, and then verse 26. So that's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. And it can be found on page 226 of the Pew Bible. Samuel continued in the service of the Lord, a mere boy with a linen ephod fastened round him. Every year his mother made him a little cloak and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would give his blessing to Elkanah and his wife and say, "The Lord grant you children by this woman in place of the one whom you made over to the Lord." Then they would return home. The young Samuel, as he grew up, increasingly commended himself to the Lord and to the people. From the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. This can be found on page 180 of the Pew Bible. So that's Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. "Put on, then, garments that suit God's chosen and beloved people: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgiving, if any of you has cause for complaint. You must forgive as the Lord forgave you. Finally, to bind everything together and complete the whole, there must be love. Let Christ's peace be arbiter in your decisions, the peace to which you were called as members of a single body. Always be thankful. Let the gospel of Christ dwell among you in all its richness. Teach and instruct one another with all the wisdom it gives you. With psalms and hymns and spiritual song, sing from the heart in gratitude to God. Let every word and action, everything you do, be in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks through him to God the Father. And from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. This can be found on page 50 of the Pew Bible. So Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now it was the practice of his parents to go to Jerusalem every year for the Passover festival. And when he was 12, they made the pilgrimage as usual. When the festive season was over and they set off for home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know of this, but supposing that he was with the party, they travelled for a whole day, and only then did they begin looking for him among their friends and relations. When they could not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him, and after 3 days they found him sitting in the temple, surrounded by the teachers, listening to them and putting questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his intelligence and the answers he gave. His parents were astonished to see him there, and his mother said to him, "My son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why did you search for me?" he said. "Did you not know that I was bound to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he meant. Then he went back with them to Nazareth and continued to be under their authority, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. As Jesus grew, he advanced in wisdom and in favour with God and men. Amen.
Thank you, Lorraine. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Hymn 320. Beautifully played as always, Tony. And let me take this opportunity to thank you for your contribution to the worship throughout another year. It's a joy to work with you and to share our ministry here. And I want to say thank you too to the church officer who has been very busy in recent months and has discharged his duties with great dignity. Again, it's a joy to work with you, Ernie, and thank you and Jan for all your work here in the church. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we rejoice in your birth, we are mindful that there are many who have yet to come to know you. We pray therefore for your church as it seeks to make known the good news of the gospel. Grant that renewed by this celebration of your coming to us, we may reach out with love to all people and declare in word and action that you are with us to save us from our sins and to give us life everlasting. Gracious God, in this world of plenty, we pray for those in need. In this world in which we have a roof above our head and food on our table, we pray for those with nowhere to live and who are hungry. Loving God, news of your Son's birth amazed some and startled others. Raise up in the world today prophetic voices to inspire commitment and challenge injustice. Prosper the work of all who seek to make life better for those who struggle, and guide the leaders of the nations that they may be motivated to seek peace and the good of all. Lord Jesus, time and time again, you reached out to others. Bless those who are lonely. Strengthen those let down by the actions of one they loved. Sustain those laid aside through sickness, and comfort all who mourn, remembering as we do the families and friends of Helen Taylor and Margaret Curry and Audrey McCormack. Gracious God, your love stretches across the ages, a constant beacon of hope and promise to all who trust in you. As we thank you for the example of faithful people like Samuel, who responded to your call to serve, we remember with gratitude those whose faith has inspired us and whose prayers for us have blessed us in ways beyond our imagining. We give thanks for those we have loved but see no more. May light perpetual shine upon them. Loving God, as we gather on this day and prepare to close the pages of one year and begin another, we thank you for blessings great and small, and we ask that, like the boy Jesus, we will grow in wisdom and face all that the new year will hold, knowing and believing that you will be with us. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen. In the Bleak Midwinter, hymn 305.
Thank you very much, Gary, for your warm welcome this morning and an opportunity to drag me from my holiday back to a new pulpit. It's some years since I was here in St. Ninian's. It was a Thanksgiving service for a communion, I think somewhere around about my first year in QV, so it must have been about 2010. And it was before you had your new magnificent organ installed, which is so beautiful to hear played so well. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And so the journey begins. Christmas lights are fading. Pine needles are already well embedded in our socks and the soles of our feet. And in most cases, our waistlines have already increased ever so slightly. A new year is beckoning, and the new journey ahead begins. And so too in those first passages that we read on this Sunday after Christmas, the journeys begin. The journey of Samuel's mother, the journey of Mary and Joseph on their way home, and then that rather challenging, different journey to the Colossians thrown out by the author of the letter. We move today from the birth of the manger to a place of religious centrality within the ancient land of Israel, to the temple, where Luke tells the tale of the infant child holding court, surrounded by teachers who are listening attentively and with a sense of awe and wonder to everything that this young child has to say to them. Things were moving on. No doubt a freshness of interpretation, a new vision, as this young child developed that sense of purpose and affirming of identity. Even at a time when parents, and no doubt those who listened to him, truly failed to understand the meaning of his words. And yet in that way, they're not alone. For equally too, we at times struggle to discern God's word for our lives today. Sometimes we see things being done in the name of the child of Bethlehem that seem to be at odds with the message of the young infant, with the powerful message of the incarnation, where God's love, care, and compassion dwell with his people. And perhaps as we journey forward into our new year, it's time for us to take stock, to assess, as our journey continues, what it is that we need to take with us. As Gary said, I'm now one of the housemasters in Queen Victoria, and for my sins, which clearly must have been many, I have to look after 63 teenage boys from the age of 12 to 18. I had more hair when I started the job. A few years ago, I had a student who was taking part in the Duke of York exhibition to Mongolia. Packing lists had all been issued, and the students were to return on a specific day in the middle of the summer holidays, a time when my feet were well and truly being propped up, to begin their journey. The assessors were gathering and they were going to check their backpacks or rucksacks. Did they have the right equipment? Did they have the right weight? Could they carry it? Could they maintain their journey? The time for arrival came and went. And this young lad still hadn't appeared. 2 hours later, still hadn't appeared. I got a phone call from the headmaster asking if I would come out of my holiday to go in search of him. He appeared. and as he was walking to the boarding house where they were staying overnight, this boy, who wasn't overly tall, had a rucksack that must have been about twice his weight and was much the same size as him. He was always a bit of a maverick. He liked to do his own thing. And the assessor said he needed to check the backpack. He wouldn't let him open it. So it became my job, having worked with this boy for 5 years, to try to talk him round. Would he let me see inside this backpack? What had he got for this journey? And I can safely say I have never seen so many kilo bags of monkey nuts, board games, and Haribo that would have embarrassed Tesco's supermarket chain before this boy was going to head off. He hadn't listened. He did have what he needed in there, but he had so much more that would have cluttered and hindered him on his journey. And I think I still bear the mental scars of trying to remove them from the bag and saying, yes, he would get them back in August. As our journeys commence and move forward, we need to be attuned to what it is that we as God's people are really being called to be and to do. And the church has certainly been challenged on that journey with an increasing intensity over the past 4 years. Reshaping, remodeling, regrouping seems to be the order of the day. And it's almost as if, in Orwellian terms, business speak has sometimes hindered the vision and the focus of incarnate love, which is the central need of the people of our land, the people of our parishes, and the people of our congregations. As we journey forward, in whatever way that journey will materialize, we need to be prepared, and we need to be armed with the appropriate garments for God's chosen people. Not so much the ornate priestly robes as the simple linen ephod of Samuel. A short and linen garment which spoke of simplicity and service. This purity of service resonates so well with the letter that was written to the Christians in Colossae. They were encouraged to display compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And they were encouraged to do so by the person who had created and founded their church. A man imprisoned, but across the miles, had heard how that church of which he was so fond had become vulnerable to deception, and taking up pen, sought to challenge the misconceptions that had taken root. The very existence of that fragile church for him was at stake, and it was his desire to reaffirm the presence of Christ, the place of love, the place of grace, truly for the salvation of all people, at the heart and the mission of his church. And friends, is that not what Christmas is encouraging us to do all over again? As this year it seems once more to fire the starting pistol for our own journey, piercing the often complexity of the human veneer on God, speaking with simplicity of where human need is to be met, with the cry of a vulnerable child, confronting and overthrowing any previous messianic stereotype of warrior prince who would overthrow dominant forces of oppression. Encouraging us rather to look at what we truly need to overthrow: the grips of negativity and humanity's inhumanity. Seen so well and so vividly within the anger of Herod, who faced with the birth of a tiny child, could only through sheer jealousy focus on a precarious hold on power slipping ever further and turning him to violence and to death. As you journey toward your new year and the days beyond, what will you take with you? Will it be a Tesco supermarket's worth of Haribo and multiple bags of monkey nuts and 3 board games? Or will it be what we truly need? The compassion, the grace, and the love of the Christ child. Because each and every one of your journeys will be unique. Each and every one will take its own personal twist and turn, have its own subtle nuance. Some people will challenge us along the way. Some will comfort and encourage. But throughout it all, may we remain true to what we believe, not becoming corrupted like the ancient church of the Colossian Christians, who needed to be reminded of what it was that they had first seen. As Christmas fires its starting pistol, journeys begin. Shepherds sent back praising God. Wise men lighter of their loads seeking out new paths. And for us today, a journey into Christmastide and to beyond, with patience, compassion, kindness, and humility. May we start our journey grounded with the inspiration to live this year in a way which allows the Christmas child of love to outlast the pine needle, the turkey curries, and even the Christmas cake that often lingers in the fridge until March, that we may mold and shape all that we do as the Church of Christ here in St. Ninian's with the incarnate love of the child of the manger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm awfully glad I came today because I very seldom get a chance to sing this Christmas carol, and it was my favourite. My first charge of Dumbarton West hated me every time I picked it. So I will sing with great gusto along with you the hymn 319, Of the Father's Love Begotten.
in the peace of God, thankful for his goodness and ever mindful of his presence, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore.